Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
On this week's episode of Bropostles, help! I matched with my sister. A woman berated me, telling me I needed to give her my credit card number on a date. Was she an Indian scam artist? We'll never know. And how do I write a good story? Is story meaningless? All this and more on this week's episode of Bropostles.
Welcome to Bropostles, a Catholic podcast for people who take their faith seriously but not themselves. I am Ethan.
And I'm Patrick.
We have to address the allegations.
The allegations of what?
I am recording this from a federal prison cell.
Oh, yeah.
For the crime of apparently not uploading a podcast 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row. How's the toilet wine taste?
The toilet wine is good. I could do with less using cigarettes as currency. Mm-hmm. But I have managed to acquire a small rock hammer. And I've begun to plan my escape.
Are you eating the rocks, or are you doing what they did in The Great Escape, where you kind of put it in the field? You take the rock in your pants.
No, one of my roommates is a Calvinist, so he eats the rocks. Nice. That's a joke. That's a joke, everybody.
Sorry,
we love the Calvinists. We love the Calvinists. He was predestined to eat those rocks.
That's the one thing foretold. I don't like. That's the one thing I don't like. In terms of prison break strategies, I think The Great Escape, hollow out the hole and put the rock silt in the yard, makes more sense in the Shawshank Redemption of eating. But the one that takes the cake is the prison guard from Madagascar, who makes a fake hole and then embeds herself in the mattress. You familiar with this scene?
Yes.
Okay, so she embeds herself in the mattress, and she makes them think she escaped through the hole, and then she gets out through the open cell door and then locks the prison guards in the cell. I think that one is by far the best.
I saw an AI video of Trump talking about the penguins of Madagascar. The most dangerous are the penguins of Madagascar. They threatened King Julian's reign, King Julian. He liked to move it. It was very funny.
That's very good. We really are just like stuck. Everyone's stuck in the mid-2010s. Like there's nothing, yeah. nothing happened after that.
Good.
We have the same president. We have the same,
But what, I mean, genuinely, in terms of cultural development, other than the ascendancy of Donald Trump and the new right, what has happened since the mid-2010s?
Basically nothing.
Dune. Part 2, Timothy Chalamet, Marty Supreme. I'm very excited for Marty Supreme coming out.
What's Marty Supreme?
Marty Supreme is a movie about table tennis starring Timothy Chalamet. I'm really excited. I'm going to write, I think my first ever Substack post is going to be about the marketing campaign for Marty Supreme.
Is it going to be on your Be More Human Substack that still says launched in 2022?
Shut up. Yeah, it might be. I'm getting lots of subscribers, by the way. Thank you for recommending me on your Substack.
Oh, yeah? Is that the case?
All kinds of people. I get notifications every day. New follower.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's great. So I think I want to write about, because he's been doing some cool things promoting this movie. And I'll give a little teaser here, but I think it's cool when people promote a thing without it necessarily being tied to the thing. And I think more Catholics could do this. Like you could have a conference, and the promo for the conference wouldn't have to necessarily be an announcement of who the speaker is going to be. It could be something totally different that's actually interesting and engaging and still drive, you know, attention to the fact that the conference is happening.
Speaking of those announcements, I thought it'd be funny to, like, at the end of Thanksgiving, you do like a recap video and then you announce where Thanksgiving is going to be next year. And I thought about doing one, and it's going to be in Melbourne every year until we stop having children. You're all coming here now. I'm not flying with kids across the country anymore. Yep. This was the last time.
Yeah.
Last time. I hated it.
Flying is a lot. I don't mind a drive. I don't mind a short drive. I think a nice light 2.5 hour drive to Kansas City, followed by a one night stay, followed by a nice light 2.5 hour drive to Omaha.
Yeah.
Is fine. If you're making me drive 5 hours in one go, I'm probably going to see you at your funeral. You know,
my sister-in-law was getting married. Congratulations to them, by the way. And so they got married in Denver and did like a Thanksgiving.
Is that the wedding that J.D. Flynn was at?
Yes, I saw J.D. Flynn at the wedding. So
was J.D. Flynn at your sister-in-law's wedding?
It was at his parish, and he was friends with the groom. So the groom was the liturgist at the parish, is no longer the liturgist.
Did J.D. Flynn know that the groom is now related to you, and that by going to the wedding, he's associating with a far-right Catholic podcaster?
It was funny because we were talking about that. He's like, yeah, you are really painted poorly as a far, you're not at all. So,
J.D., could you say that again into the microphone, please?
Thank you. He was very kind. He introduced himself to my wife and said, like, I admire your husband very much. It was very kind of him to say.
That's cool. That's
nice. He also introduced me as such to his child. Like, he's like, this Aww. Is Mr. Patrick. He's a very good man. And I was like, well, I have to return the favor and say that to his kid, because kids, you know, his kid doesn't understand that his dad is like a really important Catholic reporter. He doesn't get that, you know?
No.
So I thought it was good. And so we met each other's families, and that's nice.
That does a lot for the tone. The temperature, you know.
I will say, like, the work that Katie Ruvie has done to like to calm nerves among all of us, just everyone has been. If either of us have careers ever, it'll be because of Katie Ruvie, always going to bat for us.
You think so?
I think so, because we very much, and JD was saying this, we very much come off as abrasive, especially online. And I think our friends, they respond to us like they're texting their friends.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
Yeah.
But what happens is that gives license to the dog pile. And that's when we get upset, because we're getting dog piled on.
I think fundamentally we see it. The online space is a big chat room with our friends, and the people who are maybe 10 years older than us see it as a private party that not everyone is invited to. And if someone crashes in and starts saying something like you would expect at a party, they get all weirded out. They're like, this isn't what this party is supposed to be.
I think that what I'm saying is the opposite. What I'm saying is when we get corrected by our friends, like Katie McGrady and J.D. Flynn, uh-huh. They're like, oh, we're just correcting our friends. Like, we're just talking to our friends. But then,
no, but they command but then, an army of millions.
Correct. Correct. I don't think because the funny thing about the Catholic world is that everybody who's famous in the Catholic world is just a regular guy, a regular gal who goes to a regular parish, and no one cares about their online presence. And like, it's kind of funny. Like, someone will come and be like, oh, Patrick, I saw you on EWTN. That's funny. Anyway, you coming over later? Like, it's very you know, middle of the road, and so everyone, I think, has, most of the people who we're friends with have their feet on the ground, right? And so they don't realize the kind of, like, I said the same thing about the bishops. The bishops don't realize the kind of clout that they have, and that how they can like step on something on accident. The diocesan chancellors, they don't realize how they can accidentally squelch something good because they have concerns about it, and they end up just getting it ruined. It's like Gulliver's Travels, where he's in the small town, and he's like, oh, I'm trying to help.
It's like Gilligan's Island.
And so talk about this private conversation I had with JD publicly.
No, that's what a podcast is for, is to meet people in real life and then share intimate details about them.
Live. Now let me tell you his stance. No, and that we had good conversations and discovered that we actually, I texted you this. I was like, surprisingly,
so JD,
I have like,
so cornering JD at the wedding reception. So how many do you think need to go? 10 million?
No, JD is 20. JD and I are very aligned on mostly, I would say. I think he has very good opinions on that troubling topic. And
how many times would you bomb the boat, JD?
Would you do it once or twice?
That
hadn't happened yet, so we didn't talk about it. But it was a good conversation. I think it was a good conversation. I've said this before, that the reason why JD and Ed you know, correcting us sucks so much is because I respect them so much, you know, and what they do is really good. Like if it was like Father James Martin coming into my comments and being like, you need to be nice, I'd be like, I don't care. You know, that doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Or I'll take someone on the other side. If it was even Raymond Arroyo correcting me, I would be like, whatever. Cause I would know that at least my, like, people that I really look up to would have my back. But when the friendly fire hurts the most, you know, and especially because we're the littler guy, we end up getting steamrolled, which yes. I don't think they see us. I don't think they see us that way.
We have to become bigger. We have to eat Ed and JD so that we become the biggest.
They have like a guy at Substack. They have like a,
can I tell you something? You are in the top 100 rising new voices in the religion category. Not on anymore. Substack. What do you mean? What happened?
Updated like every 12 hours.
Oh, so you suck now?
I suck now.
So I've been telling everybody to get Pat Nevy Substack tattoos for nothing.
Yeah, number 76 right there on the arm. It's the opposite of 6'7". It's funny.
I love it. That's great. That's good. I'm glad you had a good experience at the wedding.
And their parish is lovely, by the way. We went to the 7:30. We went to the 7:30 a.m. mass and it was packed with families.
Yeah.
And I was like, how do you even pack the 7:30 a.m. mass with families? How do you do that? The 9:30 was, I'm sure, even crazier.
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, coffee and donuts is the easy answer.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Coffee and donuts is
all you have to do. Wait, if you want to get families to go to a certain mass time, just offer coffee and donuts only after one liturgy. And they will just go to that one. Yeah.
We do it after every morning mass, baby.
Yeah, carrot and stick situation.
It's so funny. It was like, you know, we can't get people to come to our theology night. Mm-hmm. Guys, theology and tap already solved this problem. Just give them alcohol.
Have you tried bringing donut?
Have you tried? It's so, we think with our bellies. We have a little snake wrapped around our hearts, and it's our digestive system, and just work from there. Yes. You know? Anyway. So it's so much simpler than you'd think. How was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a nice, easy 2.5-hour drive?
Who cares? Nobody cares. I'm sure you care. It was fine. Too many dogs. That's what I've decided. If there's more dogs than kids at a Thanksgiving, something is off. There is a problem. There were four dogs at my Thanksgiving and two kids. Mm. If you're, for those following along at home, that is a 2-to-1 dog to child ratio. Which, if you've ever been around dogs and kids, you would know that sucks, because the dogs are trying to get the kids and the kids are trying to get the dogs and they don't all know each other, and it's just a lot of snapping and pushing and crying and scratching.
We had the opposite problem, where the dogs and the children had developed a pact, and they were working together to like get
a Rugrats situation.
Yeah, the dogs had figured out quickly that my son and my daughter would feed them. And the kids figured out quickly the dogs would play with them if they fed them.
Yes.
And so that was we had a 3-to-2 dog to kid ratio.
That's better, but still not great. It needs to be like 10-to-1 kid to dog. I think for any square mile in America, there should be a police force that should be allowed to come and count the number of dogs and do it, just a quick spot census.
Yeah.
And if the ratio is lower,
pun. Yeah.
If there's ratio is lower of 10-to-1 kids to dog, they should be allowed to take the dog to the butterfly farm.
We were in Denver, Colorado, which there are more dogs than kids. Like that's just how it is. That city will be gone in two generations if something doesn't change. There's too many dogs and not enough kids.
I did watch the movie Zodiac with my brother over Thanksgiving weekend.
That's a good movie.
Which was creepy, enjoyable. Movie. I like that movie a lot. Yeah. David Fincher in total command of his craft.
Oh.
Yeah. It just makes me realize how much I like movies. When you watch a movie like that, you're like, this is what it's all about.
This is what it's supposed to be. Well-watched dads, man.
Well-watched dads. Oh, I would love to do well.
My grandmother-in-law has this like circulation thing she's got to do for an hour twice a day, and so she sits on the couch and puts on these boots that help her circulation, and so she was popping on classics. We watched Miracle on 34th Street. Ooh. We watched White Christmas. Ooh. We watched It's a Wonderful Life. We watched Casablanca. It was great. It was great. I watched Casablanca on the plane, but I think she put it on. But it was a great time. I love those movies are solid.
Emma's never seen It's a Wonderful Life, so I'm earmarking time this Christmas to watch it with her because
it hits harder when you're a man and you pass the point in your life where you do one of the many points in your life where you do want to throw yourself off a bridge. You're like, I get it.
I can understand this.
Really?
But what would happen to the building and loan?
It's crazy that the mortgage lender is the good guy in that movie. How things have changed.
Yeah, but he was like a mortgage lender in the right kind of mortgage. He wasn't selling those to Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac.
Correct. He wasn't giving out subprime mortgages.
I would love to see Ryan Gosling's character from The Big Short and the freaking
Steve Carell.
No, what's his name from the It's a Wonderful Life? Just having a conversation.
The power of AI, we can do that
now. Yeah, we should.
There's a bubble in Bedford Falls.
Yeah. Can you imagine him, just Jimmy Stewart, just running down the main street of any major city today? And it's like, oh, it's Mr. Potter's CBD and vape. And it's Mr. Potter's.
You nailed it. That's exactly what it is.
He'd be terrible. It's like, oh, what happened to this world? I have to go back. It's like,
I have to go back.
You didn't even jump off the bridge in this world, Jimmy. It's just how it is.
It's Pat Buchanan at the end of his life going, I wish I'd never been born. And it's like, he goes back to what America would be like. And it's even more Kratom shops, Kratom, whatever it's called.
Can I get that Delta pen?
Yeah, man.
Can I hit the Delta pen? Yeah. I am a big fan of film. I can't wait. I've got like 2 weeks off for Christmas. I'm excited just to kind of lounge about get some films in.
Look, man, if you did well-watched ads, it wouldn't be hard. Just start from the beginning, go back to the 1930s and work your way through.
No, it's chronological is not the way to do it. You have to do it in the same way that they do well-read moms. You have to pick a theme for the year and then pick movies each month that represent the theme. I think the well-read moms does this really well. So like last year they did the Year of the Father. So they had different books about fatherhood. And this year I think is the Year of the Duck or whatever. And it's all about waterfowl. I'm not exactly sure.
I'm the Year of the Rat. What are you?
I think I'm like ox or something sick like that. Yeah. But I would pick a theme. So I would probably, I don't know what it would be, but that's how I would do it. And then try to pick a good variety of genres and eras and all that sort of thing.
You got it.
But you have to research. You got to know the right movies and you got to have discussion questions for the small groups. It can't just be like, watch this movie because then no one would pay for it.
You're putting too much of an obstacle in front of yourself. You just, you know, like, here's the movie, here's the quick summary, the no spoiler summary, here are the themes to watch for, here's you know, some,
maybe this
some
could be my Substack.
You have to know
this total is what your rebrand. Yeah, it's a good idea.
And that's something that's like, if I want movie summaries, I will pay for movie summaries. So you just do you do a bunch, like 10 or so. And what AOP was saying was, he was like, the people that he's talked to, because he's only been doing it for like a month, but he's the expert on Substack.
Yeah.
But he was like, once you get 50 paid subscribers, then you can start actually giving out paid stuff, because the first 50 people will pay for you just because they like what you do.
Yeah,
but then you start giving them paid stuff. So just do the.
It's a good idea.
Do the stuff, figure out what people like, and then I think
Well Watched Dad is actually a great idea, and it should be my Substack. And I'm just now putting this together live. I can't believe I'm just now realizing this.
Another thing that I heard from people who actually run like $100,000 a year Substacks is you want to make it feel like it's tangible. So you want to say like, every month I'm going to hand you a movie guide. Mm. You're like, oh, cool, like a guide to it. That's awesome. I want a movie guide handed to me even though it's digital. It's still, you give them the picture of handing them a movie guide. And you're like, oh, great, like I love this. You know, I want one of these. And you have like, this is great for a community because you can have like an online Discord for well-watched ads, or you can use subscriber chat function. And do
you
like,
can do hey, live watch. Stream on Substack now, by the way.
That's cool.
So you do live watch-alongs.
Do live watch-along. I love that. I think well-watched ads is a great idea. A great idea.
Thanks, man. It's fourth on the list of priorities of projects for me. but I will.
Where's the Bro Apostles podcast? Is that number three?
Okay, number one.
Family.
No, number one, getting totally ripped and jacked.
Okay.
Number two, getting good at basketball.
Yeah.
Number three, family.
You know, you got to put your mask on before you fix others.
Number four, well-watched dads. Number five, my day job. Number six, the podcast. No, that's not true. I would change the order. I don't know, man. It's too much. I there's something that happens when you have like two kids and also inflation goes up 50% a year every year that makes it really hard to get ahead and stay ahead. I feel like I'm always behind the curve a little
curse
bit.
Curse you, Keens. Keens.
Ah.
Yeah. He's the guy that, like, inflation is good because it makes the people spend more money.
Livy Dunn's boyfriend.
I don't know who Livy Dunn is.
Her boyfriend's Paul Skeens. Is that
the guy that Baby Gronk rizzed up? Is that who that was?
Yeah, Baby Gronk rizzed up the guy, Livy Dunn. Yes.
Oh, wait. Livy Dunn is a guy?
Livy Dunn is a woman.
Okay. That's what I thought.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's famous for being attractive, and she's dating a guy named Paul Skeens, who's a baseball player for the Pittsburgh Pirates. So you should know who he is.
I don't follow the Pittsburgh Pirates as closely as you think I do.
It's also December, so there's no baseball going on. So why would you even be paying attention in the first place? Idiot.
I know there's no baseball going on in December. It's cold outside. I went to a place where there is baseball and it was cold. And I was like, no one will be playing baseball in this. It snowed in Denver, which was cool.
That's fun. So I see snow for the first time.
Yeah, I thought about hitting my son with a snowball, but then I remembered that is an imitatable behavior, and my wife would be upset if he was like, "Mommy, look at this," and then hits her with a snowball.
Dude, that would be so funny, though.
It would be funny.
I don't know if I would have that sort of foresight. If you give me snow and my son, I'm beaning that kid.
There's snowball, nothing. Sure there's rocks and twigs in it, baby.
There's nothing I can do other than that. I love him to death, but he needs to know who's boss. Sometimes they just need to know who's boss. And that's they try to throw the snowball. And it's like, go to timeout. But daddy, you did it. I know. Go to timeout.
Go to timeout. Guess who's boss? Oh, that's good. You want to answer some questions?
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Patrick, it's the winter and it's getting dark and I'm getting lonely and I'm starting to turn towards things that I otherwise would not turn towards. Were the sun up during the day?
Oh, no. You need to go to thefreedomgroup.co and sign up for a free 30-minute consultation to talk to the guys about how you can stop doing things like that and turning to those things and stop the craving for pornography.
Not only can I stop watching internet pornography, but I can also stop all of my cravings for internet pornography.
Correct. Anybody, any idiot can stop watching porn. All you got to do is turn your phone off, you silly goose.
Close your eyes. How is internet pornography real? Just close your eyes.
Like, you know, you can, you know, like, if you've struggled with this, you know, you can go like for a month or two, or even maybe even like a year without it, but then the craving comes back and you're like, shoot.
Yep.
And you're constantly finding, what if you just attack the sin at the root and stop craving it in general? That's what the guys at the Freedom Group do. They work for you. We work with you for a year. It obviously takes time. But the cool thing is that if it doesn't work, they will, after a year, they will work with you for free until it does. It is a guarantee. Every dollar you spend on the Freedom Group, you know that it is going to get you free. So if you've heard us talking about this for weeks and weeks and weeks now, and you haven't called them.
Call them.
What are you doing?
It's a small price to pay for your eternal soul. Get on the phone now. Go to thefreedomgroup.co. Get on a discovery call with them. They're the nicest guys in the world. Check them out. Freedomgroup.co. Thank you for sponsoring this episode of Bropostles. Oh, I guess if we have to.
We probably have
a massive backlog of questions.
I bet we do.
Oh, okay. You betcha.
Oh, I like this one. Okay, this one's from Gerardo. This one's like a nice just general question. Does anyone know how to any good books or resources about how to write good stories? I've started listening to an audiobook on Spotify, but it started by asserting that life has no meaning and any attempt to craft a narrative around our lives is pointless. That's like, that's just false.
Have you narrative heard of Joseph so Campbell's Nero, Hero with a Thousand Faces?
The Nero with a Thousand Faces.
The Nero with a Thousand Faces. And it's about that guy from The Matrix.
The story cycle. It's Neo.
I'm having a rough time. I've got a rash that's quickly expanding on my hand, and I don't know what it's from.
Your first well-watched dad's. It should be the year of male depression, and you watch It's a Wonderful Life and The Matrix. And
that's Fight a great
Club
idea.
And Office Space
and Vanilla Sky.
Yeah, and all of those.
Have you ever seen actually, Vanilla Sky, Patrick?
It actually might be too hard to narrow that one down.
It would be. I feel like half the reason that men make movies is because they're depressed.
Because they're depressed.
Yeah. Women make movies because they're lesbian and they want to tell people. And guys make movies because they're depressed and they want to tell people.
Women make movies because they hate their mom. And guys make movies because they hate their lives.
I don't know what Greta Gerwig is up to, but I cannot wait to see Aslan serve in the Narnia movies that she's making.
That's I really need to when a black lion is talking, be silent and listen. That's what I've always said on this podcast.
They're going to make Mr. Tumnus like a Dominican immigrant, probably.
That's amazing. The White Witch is the only character they're going to keep white.
Yes, because she's
for obvious reasons.
Right.
Okay. So. Joseph Campbell's Hero with a Thousand Faces is fine. It's a bit overdone. What you really should look into for writing
this
good
guy
stories,
named Dan Harmon.
Yes,
is that actually what you're going to say?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Dan Harmon and Cal Newport.
Not Cal Newport doesn't talk about. Okay. Dan Harmon
and Dr. Andrew Willard Jones also has a great book that you can read.
Dan Harmon has no book about this, but the way that he wrote every episode of Community is the story circle. And it's a simplified version of Joseph Campbell's hero's journey. So it's the you need go, seek, find, take, return, having changed. Those are like the eight steps. And he wrote every episode of Community like that. And the Russo brothers, when they were writing the Avengers movies that they wrote, they did that too. Mm-hmm. And if you rewatch Endgame with that in mind, you'll notice that their hero's journey was actually from the perspective of Thanos. So Thanos was on the hero's journey, and none of the other characters really were. It's an interesting because Endgame ends with Thanos winning, right? And so they had that in mind. And so they had him going on the hero's journey and facing obstacles and returning having changed.
Thanos wins in Endgame?
Excuse me. Whatever the first one was, Infinity War. If you watch Infinity War with that in mind.
I see.
And so what's cool is they have like this overarching hero's journey with Captain America,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, his story circle goes across the four movies they directed. But regardless, and they're doing Avengers Doomsday, which is why I'm actually excited for that movie. I think at least the story will be good because the Russo brothers worked really closely with Dan Harmon on Community. Not many people know that, but they also worked closely on Arrested Development. But Dan Harmon's story circle is a great way to do it. The book, that's another thing that I did.
And you can just look that up. You can just Google Dan Harmon's story circle, and there's some chud that's made an email or a video essay about it or a website about it, and you can just read it and research it.
And you can just read it. There's no book about it. It's really so simple that it shouldn't even be a book. But it's got some good, like, it's a circle. It's got like the Northern Hemisphere.
There's also a whole ass Rick and Morty episode about it, too, if you really want to.
Oh, gosh, yeah. That's the story circle jerk, in my opinion.
Yes.
Sorry to use that crass term. But it is a Reddit term for a Reddit show, so I guess. It's cool because you got the Northern Hemisphere and the Southern Hemisphere have symmetry, and the West and the Eastern Hemisphere have symmetry. So it's a cool way to think of story. I did. The other thing I did on this Thanksgiving vacation is I went back to my Mailmen book. I did because my mom before we left was like, I keep wanting to know what happens next, and it doesn't exist. And I was like, okay, fine. So I went back to it. And what I did in that book was the whole book is a story circle for two characters that go on opposite journeys. But also each part, like which part 1 through 3, each of those is a circle, and each chapter has its own story circle. So my goal was to, like, keep the story moving in each chapter for each character. And so I went through and I did like a story circle for each character for each chapter. And so that's how I outlined the book. And so I use it myself. That's why I'm talking so highly about it, because I've used it myself. And I think I've created a compelling story. At least my mom and my wife think so. So take that for what it's worth.
Subscribe to the Patreon to get early releases of each chapter of Patrick's new Postman book.
New mailman book, yeah.
Hitting Amazon bookstores near you, 2026.
Calling it now. In 2036. I come back. I read a chapter or two every 2 years. I started it when Leo was born, and he's almost four. So there's that. Actually, I started working on it when I was in college. I did it for a script writing project, and I pitched it as the idea for a show we had to write a pilot for, and my professor was like, that's the dumbest idea I've ever heard.
Dude, you have to make it a huge hit now.
And then, no, but then we finished the episode, and he was like, that's the best script I've ever been given for this project. And I was like, yes, the mailman, baby. It's about an apocalypse.
Your talents are wasted in security sales. I'm just going to say that right now.
I love doing what I do, man. I believe it.
I believe it. I think you could be a very successful Hollywood writer, subverting, you know, audience expectations with right wing views and Christian themes.
My job is great in that it's easy because my friend has built up such a great business that it sells itself, which is a perfect situation for a salesman to be in.
You get a lot of inbound.
Oh boy, do I! And I'm trying to work on making myself, you know, valuable and get some outbound. But the outbound that I get is
no. There's no need. Just do the inbound. Don't do the outbound. Just do the inbound. Just do the inbound and write the mailman book.
I'll make a little piecemeal. With all my free time. All right. Anyway,
I would also encourage you to. I mean, just from my perspective, there's lots of other things about storytelling and story writing. There's lots of great books out there about writing a story. There's the one about the cat. What's it called?
Oh, Save the Cat. Save the Cat.
Save the Cat. I've read that. That's a good one. So I would just do some basic research. Once you get familiar with themes, when you start, a great way to get better at telling stories is start paying attention when you watch things or read things to see how the story is being developed. Yes. This makes you a better storyteller. This makes you, it's easier to understand more complex stories and then to understand character motivations and to analyze media. You can also practice telling stories because then you realize what has to happen. I do the story circle every time I tell Peter a story at bedtime. It's super simple. Little Bear went out to the forest because he needed something to do. And he found the tallest tree in the forest and he started to climb up the tree. And guess what he found at the top? You know, like it's has to deal with whatever's at the top and then come back. And then he tells his mother and father bear what happened when he was gone. And then he goes to bed. It's a wonderful thing that I do every time. It's super easy, but you have to practice it and then you get better at it. So
yeah,
just some ideas.
You should read thrillers. You got to read more of those like pulpy Jack Reacher type thrillers because those are fast paced and they're just like bare bones.
Crack preacher.
They're just really. Did you know there's a character named John Puller that he sued him because he's like that's the same name, like that's the same name just in reverse.
That's funny.
You just made the same guy.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, you got to read more. And don't listen to anyone that says life has no meaning and it has no narrative. That's so stupid.
Yeah, that's dumb.
Read the Bible too.
The Bible is the best story of all time. Have you read the Bible?
It has narrative.
Yes. Anyway. Yeah.
All right. This next question is, who is right, me or my friend? This is great. All right. Sleepy Time says, I have an argument with my best friend. I'd love for you guys to solve it on the pod and say who's right. I pose the hypothetical of, if you woke up one day and we had switched brains, how long would it take for you to realize that we had switched brains? And he said, immediately, since I'd wake up in your body. And I said, no, you still wake up in your own body, but our brains are swapped.
Hold on, wait, what?
And he says,
am I stupid?
That you are where your brain goes. And I think that makes no sense. Only the brains are swapped. The brain isn't you.
Question asker, actually, I hate to say you might be totally in the wrong here.
I think you're wrong there. I mean,
what? So let's say you and me. So our brains swap, right?
Yeah.
So that means my brain goes into your head and your brain goes into my head.
The first thing that I do when I'm in your body is I get you good at basketball. I make sure that all the muscles are ready. That's what I do, man. I'm like, I'm not letting this guy waste a single freaking day. I'm going to get your sleep schedule on right.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to make sure that you eat a bunch of like high protein foods.
Yes.
And I'm just going to sleep 9 hours a day for you. And then I'm going to get that thing ready for you to get, take nice good care of your car. But brother,
first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to torch all of your relationships in the Catholic media world. I'm instantly pulling out your phone and sending the most heinous things to all the people that follow you on X. no, I would never do that. You'd realize, because I would be in your body. So I would, I would be like, oh shoot, I'm 6'2". Oh no.
I would get up and be further away from the ground. I'd feel closer to the ground and be like, what's going on?
Whoa.
What the frick? Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think you're, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Like, oh, your brain switches, but not your soul.
Yeah. I don't even know how that makes sense.
I think consciousness, like your brain is essential to your consciousness happening. So it's the thing through which your mind, like.
Right. If you take the brain out. Yes, your soul exists separate from your brain, but you have no sensory experience available to you to experience the world. It's like, your soul lives on just in another realm, just not this one anymore.
Not this one.
Because you've cut off the way that your soul can experience this physical plane.
Yeah.
So I guess,
I think you might be wrong, Sleepy Time. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think you might be off your rocker.
I think I get what you're trying to say. You're trying to say like, oh my gosh, we think so much alike, you know, or we know all the same things, whatever.
No, dude, as soon as you go into someone else's body, you're going to be like, wait a minute, that spot that usually hurts doesn't hurt, but this other new spot hurts. What's going on?
Yeah. Okay. This one's a fun one. Dear the Bro Apostles, I matched recently on a dating app with a beautiful woman who I've actually known for years. We have so much in common with each other. Our parents are close to each other. We have all the same inside jokes, and I genuinely enjoy spending time with her. She is the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, but online haters say it'll be wrong to date her. Help. The punchline is, he matched with his sister.
Oy.
Could you imagine?
Gross. Why did she swipe right?
I don't think it was one of those apps. How did you match with your sister? It's so funny. It's like it's just him saying the pianist, I match with my sister, and Crab Rangoon with four dots. Like what? Very funny screenshot.
Ha, isn't it so funny? Yeah, dude, it's cool if you love your sister. You'd be the same as most Greek guys.
No, it's his sister, not his brother. All right.
No.
Oh, there it is. That's the joke that I told to Hani when we were in Israel.
Yeah.
I was like, there's a really classic. This is not a kid-friendly joke. So if you have kids in the car, you may want to skip ahead a bit. But there's this old joke where a Greek and an Italian are sitting in a bar.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fighting over who's better. And the Italian says, we do have to give the Greeks one thing, is that the Greeks invented sex. And the Greek gets all proud and he goes, but the Italians introduced it to women. It's a classic.
It's a great joke.
You've heard it before. She didn't laugh. Everyone else.
Of course.
Did.
Of course.
It's a good one. All right. homeschool co-op drama. Is there any other kind? I just got an email. Oh, this is from Twitter. I just got an email from the homeschool co-op secretary that another parent discovered their child with a Switch case and five games that don't belong to them. And they admitted they stole it from my house. I'd like to know when a good time is to return. Oh, my 9-year-old has been grounded for nearly a month because I thought she lost it. The secretary doesn't want to tell me who stole it and thinks I'm being unreasonable for asking. I told my husband I don't want to host anything for the co-op anymore because I don't want to have a thief in my house. We're the only house big enough to host PE and the Christmas party and cooking class. So unless they change course, that's all canceled. I'm going to find out anyway because the parent emailed the secretary about it, and the email server the co-op uses is a private server in my house. I think she's forgetting that. I'm so mad right now, and I have to apologize to my kid. She was the victim. I thought she'd done something wrong. Am I in the right or am I wrong? What do you think?
I don't know. This all feels very silly. I think I think you just figure out which kid it was, and then one of your homeschool projects is constructing a gallows that you make the kid stand in.
you mean a stocks?
A stockades. What's a gallows? Oh, gallows is when you hang him. Don't hang the kid. Don't hang the kid. You want to put him in the stockades. You want to embarrass him. You don't want to hang him. And then you could throw lettuce at him or whatever. And I think, or her, I mean, it could be a woman. I can't imagine what a woman would want with a Nintendo Switch. It's such a male-coded item to me.
That's true.
But anyway, I think you just got to figure out who it is. The secrecy is not a way to deal with this in a homeschool community. The truth must come to light. Otherwise, you risk dissolving everything. What's better, a small community where people are hiding things from each other, or a small community where the dark and dirty deeds get brought out into the bright light of day?
Yeah, I think she did eventually find out who it was because the email server was in their house. But I think if I recall correctly, the punchline to this whole thing was the secretary didn't want to say because it was the only black kid at the co-op.
Oh.
Yeah, so I think that was the problem there.
Noble on the secretary's part.
Yes, it would, it's, you know, you don't, you hate to see it, but, you know.
Yeah.
All right. So, anonymous male dating story. Let's move on quickly from that. Anonymous male dating story. I had the strangest interaction with this woman I met through Facebook dating.
Facebook dating?
Brother, I know we say get on the apps, but.
Dude, I'm on RuneScape dating.
I'm on Yahoo dating.
All right. I'm asking Jeeves for a wife.
Oh man, that's funny. Yeah. We started chatting about the ballet and the opera and wine. She sends her phone number out of the blue on message number 4. It says she prefers talking. I send her a text. She immediately calls me, and she asks for 10 iTunes gift cards. I'm kidding. Immediately, I pick up that she's very assertive of her value to the point of arrogance. She says she only eats gourmet gluten-free meals prepared by her chef parents. And what can you offer me? And I said, well, I can offer the 16 digits on the front of my card and the 3 on the back. And she thought I was calling her an OnlyFans girl instead of joking about credit cards.
Oh,
I tried to do damage control and said my mom grew up in the family Mexican restaurant, but didn't pass any skills on to me except for washing dishes. She kind of laughed and then faked the disconnect and hung up. A minute later, she calls back, blames her phone, and says she'll have it fixed. And says she'll have it fixed for free because that's her role as a woman, to be given
what
things.
What on earth is
she going says
on?
She only takes things and multiplies them because that's my station in life as a woman. So I said, "Thank you for your time. Best of luck," and hung up.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's crazy.
That's insane. You did the right thing.
Yeah, I think it's wild to not start a phone call with like, "Where are you from?"
I know.
My role as a woman is to take what I'm given and multiply it. It's actually not your role, but
that's a fun girl talk thing, you know, yeah. That you hear at the girl talk is like a woman mm-hmm. takes it and multiplies. That's fine. But my role as a woman is to be given things doesn't come off the way you think it does. This guy, fellas, this is also the same way that you come off when you talk about what you want in a wife. You got to figure out if you like each other first. Then you can figure out what your opinions on the gender roles are. Yeah. Now, of course, this would be easier if we had a society that had cohesive ideas of what it meant to be a man and a woman. But unfortunately, we don't live in that reality. Yeah,
if only there was a book that explored that theme that was widely published and I could read it and buy it and own it.
What book are you talking about? The Bible?
No, I'm talking about your book.
Oh, you're gassing me up. Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, I'm gassing you up.
Yeah, I did get the rights back to it, so maybe I can publish.
What is it? What was the name of it?
It was called Adam Restored.
No, what was the name that I had for it?
Genitalia
Regalia. Yes, thank you. The real name.
I pitched that to the Daughters of St. Paul. I think that's why they rejected it. I think that's why they ended up canceling the book.
If I have to wear that, that's fine. I'll take that
but,
one. Worth
but,
it.
You know, it's every culture has their own every culture has their own expressions of masculinity and femininity that are equally valid insofar as they reflect God's design. And we don't have one in America because of, you know, what we are. And we once did. If you watch It's a Wonderful Life, you can kind of tell. Like, there's rules about how men and women are supposed to interact with each other. But we don't have that. And so we kind of have to figure it out on our own, which sucks. But the thing is, you can't, like, because we don't have a tradition, it's hard for people before marriage to, like, figure out those rules and articulate them well. Mm. And when you try, you sound like this. You sound like, you know, a crazy person. Like, how dare you? I'm my role is to be given. So you're a boy, so you have to give to me. It's like, you sound like a crazy person. Or, you know, a guy, to flip it on the other hand, it's like guys who are like, well, a woman's role is to be led. So I'm your boyfriend, so I have to lead you right now. It's like, you kind of sound crazy.
Make me a casserole. Make me a casserole in a 9x12 dish now.
Yeah. Make sure there's marshmallows on it, because I'm 3 years old. I know. Ooh. I married into a marshmallow yam souffle family. I don't know how I feel about that.
So gross. Anything that's a casserole at Thanksgiving, I'm fine with casseroles most other times of the year, but all of a sudden it becomes late November and everyone gets all freaking crazy with the casserole.
It's true.
It's all green bean casserole. Let's put the most disgusting slop we've ever conceived and also green beans into a dish. And then all sweet potatoes. Great. Normally a fine dish. What if we loaded it up with disgusting marshmallows on top that are made of synthetic gums and oh, I have a headache. I don't like it. I don't like it at all.
I can tell.
Turkey, mashed potatoes, and a roll is all you need.
That's Thanksgiving. That's Thanksgiving at the Stevie household. All right.
Yes. All right. Carry on. I don't know. I remember what we were talking about, but I feel better now.
Okay. Settle Amanda's curiosity about fictional crushes.
Oh, I think we should wait for next week on this question.
Okay.
We should leave some on the bone.
How about DeJimmers hitting up a girl he went on 3 dates with a year ago?
What I'm saying is we gotta wrap it up.
Oh, you're done?
Well, we gotta be done with this podcast so that we can do the next podcast.
Okay. Speaking of leaving some on the bone.
Gotta leave it on the bone.
All right, guys. That's our last question. I hope you had to leave it on the bone.
What did you, when you said speaking of leaving it on the bone, what were you going to say?
I was doing a silly segue that had no segue. I was doing like a segueless segue.
Uh-huh.
I have nothing to say.
Speaking of segues, thank you to the Freedom Group for sponsoring this episode of Bropostles. Go to thefreedomgroup.co to check out everything they've got going on. They're the greatest.
They are really the greatest. Yeah. I think it's solid. And thanks so much for listening to this episode of Bropostles. See you next time.